You're listening to V for Vertigo, episode 29. Carry on my wayward son, there'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest, don't you cry no more.
Ahoy hoy, welcome to V for Vertigo, and one man's journey into the world of all things Vertigo Comics, because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Mark Johnson, and this week's review will cover Faker by Mike Carey and Jock. So now that the introduction is out of the way, a couple weeks ago, I don't know if I mentioned it, I don't think I did, I had forgotten that this show, approximately, had its 1 year anniversary. And I didn't realize it. It didn't seem that long. Or it seemed like it was just a practice run. Especially, you know, since I'm by myself now. It's been a long time getting... It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time, but my time is finally near. Oh, Enterprise, you had to have such a shitty intro. Decent show, though. It's alright. Better than prequels. I'm not saying much. You know, if I had a goal still, I'd probably be celebrating. As it is, I will be doing absolutely nothing. But you know what I'd kill for right now? Some ice cream and cake. Ice cream and cake. Man, that is the greatest slash most annoying commercial I have seen in ages. It was pretty fun, too. It's a shame that a lot of Baskin-Robbins closed down. So if there's one near me, I might actually get take a shower and go there and get me some ice cream and cake and cake. Ice cream and kick, kick, kick. I drove my friend crazy with that yesterday. Because apparently his friends also can sing it. Come on. It's so fun, man. Ice cream and kick, kick, kick. Ice cream and kick, kick, kick. Anyways. Happy anniversary and all that crap. No one cares. No one. Anyway. 1 year. We're talking about practice. It's interesting. Oh, so yesterday... Before we get started, I saw District 9. Now I'm going to give my spoiler-free review about District 9. I thought it was a good movie. I give it a 4 out of 5. I don't know why I got to keep saying out of 5. It's like, if I say it's good, people keep asking, oh, out of 10? I'm like, no, you idiot. Out of fucking 5. When I say it's good, 4 out of 10, 4 out of 6, that's just a arbitrary random number. The problem I had with it is I tried to convince my friend to go watch Final Destination 3D, because I don't think I've seen a 3D movie in the theater. Yeah, I don't think I have, and I think the last movie I actually saw in 3D was Freddy's Dead. When they showed movies on television that were less edited. And my mom went to 7-Eleven to get some those 3D glasses. That was pretty cool. That wasn't that great of a movie, though. But hey, I wanted to see Final Destination 3D. So District 9 is not a summer movie. There are a couple of explosions and fighting and killing and shooting at the end. But for the most part... Is it a documentary... There's a very realistic feel because they shoot it like a documentary from the beginning. Or from the beginning, they shoot it from the end. The way they're talking about it, it's like it's already happened. So, yeah, it's alright. I mean, the CGI, though, is excellent. The rendering and stuff. The aliens look as nitty and gritty as their environments. So, that was good. Americans might have a hard time relating because there are no Americans in the movie. Which, I don't know, I didn't really care. I did kind of have a problem with who the bad guys were, because since the mid-90s, the bad guys have always been big corporations. Always big corporations. The evil big corporations, when, for the most part, they generally do good stuff, those corporations. But in movies and in shows, they're all evil, like Gecko, greed is good, and all that stuff. And, of course, there's the guy on the security team. He's also a bad guy. The biggest problem I had, aside from the way it was shot, because that got kind of annoying, especially, I don't know, the shaky cam stuff and the action. Yeah, I don't need that realism. But the ending, it wasn't like a resolution. Maybe it's because there'll be a District 10 movie, I don't know. It might be, but I thought they could have ended it a lot better and gave some resolution. But they didn't get any, and that kind of sucked. So, bit disappointed on that aspect. I don't know. Overall, it's a good movie. Don't really, if it's your last movie of the summer, I mean, watch it because it's good. It might be too deep for you. Not as deep as, say, Watchmen is to some people. And the message about getting along with other people. They might beat you over the head with that a bit too much. So that is also annoying. Yeah. Anyways. So, you know what? I did a lot of shopping this weekend. Yesterday. Oh, I spent a lot of fucking money buying a bunch of shit I don't need. Thank God I didn't buy Shadow Complex, which is not that great of a game. I played the demo. People love it. I can see why. I mean, for $15 and the amount of hours in the gameplay, it's alright. The problem I have is people keep comparing it to Metroid, which the Prime Trilogy is out now for $50. And if you haven't played Metroid Prime, you should. It is fucking excellent. I played the first one. I never got the second two. I don't know why. I've been lagging. I loved it. It's still the most beautiful game on even this gen's consoles. The story's good. It doesn't feel like a first-person shooter, because I wasn't in the mood when I bought the game. Well, I did have a GameCube at the time. Didn't really have a choice. But it's not a first-person shooter. It feels like Metroid, just in first-person. So, Shadow Complex does not feel like Metroid, because there are 3D, environments, and you got guys in the background and some in the foreground and stuff, but this is the biggest problem I have. You could only control it 2D side to side. You got the stuff that thing has to be automatic. And it's like in the Metroid, probably the more comparison would be the Metroid Fusion or Mission Zero. You get a feel that you could do more. Even if Samus is naked without her suit, you get a feeling that you could jump in a certain way or you could move diagonally and do all this stuff. I don't get that Shadow Complex. I don't even care about Orson Scott Card and his whoring out of the Ender series, or his fact that he hates gays. But man, it's just the game itself is like, I want to do stuff in 3D. It looks 3D, but now I'm doing 2D stuff. So whatever. I have been playing a lot of 1943. I'm so loving it. I'm getting the hang of that. And every time I'm a Marine, it's like, this is my rifle. Damn many like it, but this one is mine. And then if I'm, you know, Japanese, I'm like, it's Banzai! And then I go, oh, kamikaze and shit. It's good. I'm sorry. I never could get into 1942. Of course, I can't. I don't really like PC gaming in general. But 1943, I'm digging. Just pop in. Well, I'm digging when EA servers work. That would be another thing. If I had paid for this game and I haven't, and I didn't actually get a code, thanks, Mike, I would be so upset because, man, the fact that I can't play the game whenever I want or I'm having a hard time logging on to servers, I'd be like, man, that's so pissed me off. Oh, I did buy my first 360 game, console game. And, well, technically it's Batman, but that's not in yet. So I was out shopping, and I went to the video game store to get a gift for my mom for her DS. I picked up a RPG for $20, Spectral Forces 3 by Atlus. Now, Atlus makes good games. I hope it's good. I got it because it's $20, and it's a strategy RPG, which I love, and Shining Force Feather is not coming to America anytime soon, and Fire Emblem is still, like, a year or two away for another DS game. Although I love the console ones, they just didn't sell well. So hopefully this will be good. Although the Metacritic reviews and the scores, they're all saying it's a blah game. If you like such and such games, you like this, there's nothing special. And I'm like, and actually that's exactly what I want. And for $20 for apparently over 50 hours of gameplay, can't beat it. And of course I bought a shitload of books. They didn't have the third book in the Hellgate trilogy, which sucked. But I did pick up Dean Koontz's Frankenstein, baby. It's overpriced at $9.99. And I still hate the fact that publishers are making these books in between the trade format and the paperback format. It's like DC making Wednesday's comics. Can we focus on the future, people? I mean, you're kind of doing shit backwards and half-ass. But I did pick that up. I can't wait to read it. Although it'll be a while since I have a backlog of books. And yeah, and I got a lot of shit to read. But man, anyone who's not reading it, oh shit. There's no other name on it too, because for the first two books, it was like Dean Koontz and Kevin J. Anderson. And then Dean Koontz and some other guy I don't remember. But that's a great trilogy, and it is more entertaining than Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. I don't know, Jonathan, if you listen, but you are wrong. I can't read old books. I mean, I get through them sometimes, and sometimes they pick up like Oliver Twisted, and it got interesting. But for the most part, just the way they're written is really hard to read. They're not as badly written as, say, The Road, which has no punctuation whatsoever. I hope I'm still recording. I think I am. Yeah, The Road is just terrible, but the stuff back then, it's all one giant paragraph. It's just hard on your eyes. Hard on your eyes. That's just the way things go. But anyways, I suppose I should get started since I want to go cook after this or play a video game. I'm tired. I just finished cleaning my bathroom, which I hate. And I want some ice cubic cake. Oh, ice cubic cake. Okay. So, time for the news.
Vertigo News.
Apparently, okay, I'm going to try to post some of these in the forum, the links, because a lot of them have pictures on there, right? Can't really describe them here. So, Absolute Death, or Death's Absolute, I'm not really sure what it's called. Or the proper way to say it. It got pushed up a week to October 14th. And some things we now know. It includes an intro by Amanda Palmer and the Gallery of Death, which would be good to all you goth fanboys. Now, a nice place you could order that if you haven't pre-ordered it is from InStockTrades.com, where it'll be probably at least 37% off. Now, the chill, I don't know what the chill's about. It kind of sucks. Let me control click. Control click? Oh, there you go. The Chill by Jason Starr and Mick Bertolorenzi. I hate Italian names. Will be coming in January 2010. Now, if you want to see the preview art, you got to go to Vertigo's blog. Yeah, I'll have a link in the show notes. What sucks is I don't know what the hell the Chill's about. It doesn't really say. I wish it did. Then I'd put it on my list to watch out for. And I don't know if I... The last thing, I don't know if I mentioned this, but... Is that a bug on my foot or something? But the first issue of Unknown Soldier is available for download on DC Comics / Vertigo / something else site. I've read it. I got that confused between Haunted Tank, which I think still think the premise is dumb. But I do want to read that a shot, give that a shot. So... I read Unknown Soldier. Oh, fuck me, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was really good. Yeah, the only problem I had with it is the trade literally just came out within the past week, and my in-stock order, I ordered some books last week, the week before, so I missed it by a week. If I'm ever in a comic shop, I may just buy it while I'm there. But it was good. What shocks me, I might mention this when I review it, is that it stars a couple black people that go back to Africa. The way it's written, you would think a black person writes it. It's written by a white dude who doesn't talk down or stereotype black folks, which is a little secret. Oh, it surprises us, because that's what we're generally used to getting, which sucks. But hey. It's good. People that are interested in it should go download the first issue, and I hope they have more issues for download. At least the first issue of series for download. So go read it, people.
And now it's time for the rundown.
Now, Faker is, like I said, by Mike Carey and Jock. I have no idea why who Jock is. And why he decided to go by Jock? Does he not have a surname, or is that his surname? Is he like Prince? Which is, I don't know, man. I don't think he's as big as Prince or Madonna. Actually reminds me of the old Bel Air episode where Ashley was dating some dude, and then this is when Prince had the symbol. And he gave Uncle Phil a card, and he's like, "What's this?" Well, it had some symbol, and he's like, "It's my name." And then Uncle Phil scribbles it, gives it back to him. "What's this?" "It means get the hell out of my house!" And then the guy just straight up runs. And Ashley's like, "Daddy, I loved him." So that is hilarious. That's what that reminds me of, Jock. Well. I picked up this book way back when WonderCon was. I must have been February. It was in a 50% bin, and the reason I picked it up was it's Vertigo. Can't go wrong there. It's Mike Carey, and it's 50% off. All good stuff. So, Faker has to do with four college students. Living in Minnesota, I can't do a Minnesota accent, and they're all coming back from winter break. They each have their own problems, as one might suspect, but it's a little more than your average Joe. And Jessie, the main character of the book, she likes to fuck doctors and teachers and all sorts of people, and then she blackmails them so that they won't tell. Now, Marky... He's a rather charming bisexual guy who's a slut. He's a slut. And then he kind of makes him feel bad when he breaks up with him. Yeah. There's other people, but they're not as important. Let me just read it. What are the other people? There's Yvonne. She's a hacker. And there's Sack. And he's a sports scholar, according to the back of the trade. Yeah, I don't really get a feel that he's a jock. Anyways, the four college kids are getting drunk a day or two before registration, as college kids are known to do. They puke up some green stuff, then pass out. The next morning, they're back at their house, and so is the fifth friend, Nick. Nick tries to register for classes, but here's the twist. Nobody remembers him. And on top of that, he starts to melt. They eventually find out that their drinks were spiked, but not with some kind of sex drug, as is the norm, but with an experimental drug called the Angel's Kiss. Kate, the person who did it, she calls the government. They come and take everybody away. And they do some tests on Nick, and there's one sadistic doctor who likes cutting people. And they find out he's a kiss dream with substance. Now, a kiss dream is... Well, it's like when you do Angel's Kiss, you start to hallucinate, like you're doing a hallucinate. That's not even a word. Hallucinate, like you do an LSD. And here, it's the same thing, it's just come to life. Whether it's because they took a lot of them or it was four of them that did it, who knows. Now, the government tries to get some answers from the kids, but it fails. The kids break out, Marky gets killed, and Jessie, she falls into a vat of Angel's Kiss. She doesn't die and drown, or maybe she does, who knows. They all rescue Nick, and being the fucked up slut she is, she fucks him to get the stuff out of her and into him. And I don't get how that works. Or I don't get how she keeps doing it. They all run and are being pursued. Yvonne, I don't know if she dies the best way. I fucking hate snipers. But she dies from a sniper. Now Sack gets the idea to go into a reservoir and dump the stuff in it. That way the secret would be out. Now Nick does it because Sack gets shot. But Nick gets shot, and he goes and falls in the reservoir. Now, after that, you know, the government is just like, peace out, bitches. They gone. But they do close the town down for a day or two. Now, at the end, Sax, he's able to sneak out before the lockdown and goes home to his mom. He did commit suicide earlier. I don't know why. I don't believe him. Man, don't commit suicide. Now, people all over town are having kiss dreams. And kiss dreams, depending on your emotion, can either be... You can get some good stuff, a la... I don't know. A good sex dream. I was going to use a better example, but I can't think of one. Or you can get a bad one, a la Freddy Krueger. Now, Jessie, she drinks water in hopes that Nick will show. But... Yeah, no, it might be her Uncle Peter who sexually abused her. That shows. That might show. Who knows? Yeah, because that's the way it ends. Alright. So, I'm going to take a sip of this water here while I formulate my thoughts. I wish I had read Faker sooner. The reason I had put it off for... March, April, May, June, July, 6 months? Ooh. For so long was mainly because of the cover. I'm not gonna lie. I, like all humans, judge things by the cover. And despite what some writers and publishers think, covers are damned important. In fact, that's the reason why I don't buy so many fantasy books. As much as I hate urban fantasy, they got great covers. High fantasy, adventure fantasy, shitty covers. For the most part. Unless they've been recirculated a while and got various prints, then they get better. Or they change publishers. Or whatever. Blah, 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 blah. Anyways, I don't like it. I bought it and I didn't even look through it. I was just like, oh, Faker. Oh, Vertigo. So my cover for the show. Oh, Mike Carey. I like it. I thought it was a black and white book. But it's not. Thank God. There are black and white comics I love. A la Bone. Strangers in Paradise, Walking Dead. But, you know, generally speaking, I like my comics to be in color, especially since they're so expensive. And this one was also expensive at $14.99 instead of $9.99. I'm confused. Is the $9.99 just for our first trades in series? I think it is. It kind of blows. It should be across the board, but for Faker, it should have been $9.99. Even though I paid half off, whatever. Yeah. So when I opened it up, the colors and the art jumped out at me. I'm shocked. I was like, ooh, it looked pretty. is good. The type of art, I don't know what it's called, I'm not an artist, isn't something I like normally. I think, however, it's perfect here because it's in college and it's very young and hippish. So it goes with the young and hip college students. And unlike some artists or books, a la Y, all the college kids, I was going to name them teenagers, which they might be, they all look different. Yeah, I could tell who's who. Who's whom. Yeah. So, but non-art-wise, I think Faker was a lot deeper than I thought it would be. Surprising, right? It reminds me more of something Peter David wrote than Mike Carey. I mean, it's more of a mind fuck. And Carey only had to tell it in six issues. I mean, one of the best themes you learn is that the best quote is when Jesse says that that we hide our true self even to ourselves because we're lying. There's like a mask we put on for the outside world, and then there's another mask we put on for ourselves. That's some deep stuff. I didn't know you had it in you, Mike Carey. Granted, I've not read much Lucifer, Hellblazer, and I don't read X-Men. Now, I think I would have liked Faker a whole lot more. I think it's good. I think it's like District 9 good. Yeah. Not fucking great, but, you know, it's good. I think I would have liked Faker a lot more if it didn't involve the government doing some shady shit. If it's not corporation, if it's not China, which, really, China people? And then it's the government. It's like, oh, it's on. What three cliche bad guys came out there? I would have just liked it if it was some weird shit happening in Faker. There didn't have to be an origin. There didn't have to be a reason why. Maybe it's because I've been watching too much Twilight Zone. I'm almost done with season 3. But I think the problem with some stories, movies, books, television, blah, 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 etc., etc., is that people feel the need, or maybe they're pressured by whoever's in charge, to insert why. I don't think the why of how things are important. The why of why Nick was created, I think that's important. But that's all I do think is important. So, yeah, I don't know. It's alright, it's good. Now, the story seems to revolve around Jesse the most. I'm kind of glad it did, because as much as I thought her blackmailing and using some weapon was, I thought that, I mean, she was because of that dude and using people and was turned off just anyway and blah blah. It's a Lifetime movie we got going on. However, towards the end of the book, I did start to feel for her and liked her, and, you know, she became a badass chick who led the way. Now, once I start reading it, I got hooked by issue 2. No, I don't like the government angle. Maybe it's because I didn't go to a 4-year. And some people go to 4-year for 10 years, 7 years. Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot of money. How do you afford that? Hey, Rob, if you're listening, I don't know if you are. How do you afford going to school so long? Your parents must be loaded. Anyways, so, what was I going to say? Yeah, it was cool to read about a bunch of college kids, because I've hung around campuses, and back when I had a girlfriend, you know, slept over there for a bit. And, you know, it captured the feel, and it read surprisingly fast. Now, another thing I didn't like was the ending. It's a bit of a bummer. It's kind of like District 9. I mean, I like the ending because you kind of don't know if it's Nick or Uncle Peter that's going to be there at the end, so it's more mind-fucking. But you don't know who appeared, and you really don't know what happened next. Nor you don't know. You never got to see what other people like tripped on or tripped out on or what happened because they tripped or... And so, yeah, that little bit more would have been nice. Or, especially afterwards. Like, how would they deal with, you know, their friends dying afterwards? What would the college do? What would they... How does the stuff disperse? How long is it in the water? Are you going to hoard, like, Is Jesse Sadnick appeared, and then are you going to hoard your water? You're going to have, like, gallons of water just in case. I want to go on a hallucination. I want to have... So it would have been interesting to see what people would have done more. I don't know. And at the end of this book, there's more extras, extra. Now, instead of having just, you know, more boring character sketches, which I think are pretty lame, it's because I'm not an artist... I don't really care unless they go in depth saying why this guy didn't look like this or I chose her for that and blah, blah, blah. It had that. So, it had the sketches. But it also had essay/character biography of the kids and their college applications, too. Now, what's funny is the college applications, as they're prone to be, as I filled one out or two in my day, they're full of shit. So at the end, you read the character bios or the applications, and they're like, oh, I want to go to this college because it is so good, and I will learn a lot, and blah, 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 and I like to participate in stuff. But in the story, you find out that's not really how they are. So, go figure. Another thing I like was fits, if it's out in it, but not a, it's more creative. It's not grabby enough. I think a downside with Mike Carey is not good on titles. I think a better title would have been Dream Kiss, because people would have been like, what's that? Dream Kiss. Faker? When I first thought, I thought it'd be a poser. It's a bunch of college kids, they're being fake. Okay, that's what I thought. It's kind of like that, but not really. And that's all I got for this episode of Beef Vertigo. I'm gonna get me some ice cream cake, ice cream cake, ice cream cake. Thanks for listening, everybody. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you people that have stuck around for the whole year, because it's been a long road. I still can't believe that's the Patch Adams theme. Like, what? Who in Paramount was reminding me? Like, I know we've done 4 shows in Star Trek, all orchestrated. Some of them pretty catchy. Some of them, all right. Yeah, let's go with words. And instead of making an original song, hey, man, you see that movie Patch Adams? Let's go with that, because it's kind of talking about, man. It's been a long road, man. Nah, well, that's a terrible idea. Anyway, if you want to be a guest host, drop me a line somehow. Next week's pick will be The Sandman, Fables and Reflections. Now, I appreciate it if you left me some feedback on iTunes, because I hear if you leave some stars or feedback or something, it goes up the list, and then that means more listeners, and... whatever. Be nice. I don't really care. Okay. Just do it, people. Now visit the website to see what's coming down. I was going to see what's coming up, but coming down the pipeline. I just combined the two. At vforvertigo.blogspot.com. Now email me with your questions, your comments, your suggestions. Apparently I become French like Jean-Luc Picard. Un vrai hot. Enrage number one. Or number one, at vertigocast@gmail.com. The cleaning fumes have gotten to my head. Leave a voicemail at 206-339. My Spanish sucks. We'll go to the French. 20-12-6. Well, we'll go English. 206-339-6580. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/hellspire, and visit the forums to talk about whatever, or see the links I'm going to post if I remind myself at thecomicforums.com. And thank you, everybody, and good night.